Hello, this is Lisa Criswell, and I'll be reading to you word for word the first email I sent to Michael and Relentless Heart back in July of 2016. Subject: Lisa from New Zealand has found you. Message: Hi Michael, my name is Lisa. I found you a couple of weeks ago after my sister-in-law sent me a text of encouragement. Reading it, I came across a sentence that really baffled me. It has made me quite upset. I couldn't make sense of it as my journey had gone terribly pear-shaped and what I once believed to be true didn't seem to be now. I began to panic. I needed answers from God, but I wasn't hearing from him like I used to. So I Googled it, the whole sentence, and the only thing to pop up was your story, trusting God in the storm. After watching it, I noticed something had changed in me. My hardness for God started to dissolve. I'm back talking to him and I'm finding great comfort in your teaching. I've even started your John 7:17 challenge. My story begins, very short version, back in 2010 with my marriage separation. Even though my husband claimed to know God, he wasn't living a godly life. It involved drugs and alcohol. This wasn't the way I lived. I was the opposite, trying to please God, so we clashed. In the end, not only did I leave due to this, but also due to being a victim of his abuse and violent behaviour, taking our 2-year-old daughter with me. After that, for over 3 years, God really began to speak to me with confirmation after confirmation. He told me that my husband would be rebirthed and the marriage that was now dead would be resurrected and restored. Those were the hardest years of my life. The pain and the betrayal as I watched my husband have a child to his girlfriend at the time, while I'm trying not to look at the natural and only at God. It was so hard. Some days I was strong and others I was a wreck. I kept asking myself, how long do I have to wait? On the fourth year, I decided I needed to find peace and put an end to the suffering. I couldn't keep going on like this. I ended up believing that I must not have given it to God properly, for if I had, surely the pain and suffering would have ceased by now. So with me believing I was handing it over to God once and for all, in fact, from what I now know today after listening to your message, how to find God's help through painful suffering, I chucked it all in and binned it. I walked away from God's instructions and call on my life. I put myself on a dating website and started to take life back into my own hands, to then find my husband walk back into my life. I thought, is this it? Could this be my promise from God? But as you can probably imagine, after giving my marriage a good shot, I'm back to where I started as of a month ago, walking away from the same old relationship, feeling like a hamster on a hamster wheel, tired, hurt, disillusioned, confused and angry at myself. Last Friday, while listening to your same message I mentioned above, you brought up the scripture Psalms 123 that you quoted towards the end. This was the same scripture God gave me in a dream a few years ago. When I heard this, I couldn't believe my ears. That was for me. That was my scripture. And look, I have failed God. Not only God, but myself and all the people I shared my beliefs with, hoping one day the promise would bring witness to them glorifying God. And now that's gone. Now God doesn't get the glory. What have I done? How could I do this to him? The day I received this revelation, I wailed like I never have before and didn't think I would ever stop. I failed. So my questions to you, Michael, are: hearing your understanding on divorce, where do I sit with that, with God, due to my situation? And two, now knowing that I have failed, what do I do now? Does the promise still apply or is it void? And just your thoughts on the whole matter, if that's okay. Thanks for your time and listening to me. I really appreciate it. And I so look forward to hearing your response. Lisa.
Try to imagine what it was like for me to sit and watch my wife make that recording while she works, sitting right next to me all these years later. Look at the mysterious and amazing ways of God at work here. Here was an email from a hurting sister in Christ who was actually going to become my wife. despite the fact that I'm already happily remarried at that time of her email, having lost my first marriage to an unfaithful spouse. In reply to Lisa's email, like I had done with thousands of others, I prayed and made her a recording, which you're about to hear. Inconceivable at that time. My then wife, Persis, was going to be severely attacked by Satan and her faith to the point of full-blown apostasy, with her first rejecting Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and then rejecting me as her Christian husband and abandoning the marriage. I continued in the marriage, shocked and sad, but hopeful for God's restoration of what the thief had come to steal, kill, and destroy. Then, on March 5th, 2019, I told Persis that the Lord was calling us to now move to New Zealand, and that I was putting the tiny house up for sale in preparation for the move. That same day, Persis told me she was separating from me and she would not be going with me to New Zealand. That date then became our legal date of marriage separation. And 2 years later to the day, on March 5th, 2021, I received from New Zealand another email from Lisa, filled with faith for a resurrection of my ministry after I voluntarily took it down on February 19th, 2021, as a result of my apostate spouse not coming back. Just like Queen Vashti in the book of Esther, Persis refused to come back when the Lord and her husband called her to do so. After Vashti's stubborn refusal to obey, she was replaced by a more noble woman who became Queen Esther. Unknown to me, God had already chosen Lisa to be a replacement like he chose Esther. 4 years, 9 months, and 12 days after Lisa's first email to me, God arranged the circumstances such that Lisa and I connected on a video call on April 13th, 2021. Then, 7 days later, the Lord told me to let Persis go and that Lisa was now to be my faithful wife. Later, I discovered it had been exactly 777 days since Persis first separated from me on that March 5th, 2019 date where she was telling me she would not be moving with me to New Zealand. I find two things remarkable about this recording that I made to Lisa. First, this was a difficult message to hear about surrender and the cross. I could have scared Lisa away from Jesus with this hard teaching, but she humbled herself to it. Secondly, I failed to answer her question at the end of her email about where she stood with God regarding the subject of divorce. No doubt, this was the Spirit's leading, placing focus first not on relief from her circumstances, but first on her making the sacrifice of her own will to his, no matter what the outcome. It would be 2 months before she would again ask me about divorce, whereupon the Lord had me answer her and give her light on her situation, which he would then confirm for her separately. I made a total of 6 recordings to Lisa in 2016 over a period of 4 months, all of which will be shared in this series. After that, I never heard from Lisa again for 4 years until later in 2020 when I made a request to all my subscribers for video testimonies about how God had used the ministry to bless them. The first passage that comes to my mind when I try to get my own head around what God was going to do between Lisa and I is from Job 11:7. Quote, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. Now, here's that first recording the Lord had me make for Sister Lisa, who, praise God, became Wife Lisa. Hello, Lisa. This is Brother Michael in the United States. Thank you so much for sending me your email. What an absolute delight it is to hear that God directed you to the story in such a wonderful way. I have to tell you, I really appreciate this. I had somebody in about maybe a few weeks ago, they sent me one that said they went online and they just typed in, "Please God help me." They literally, that's all they could think to type in is, "Please God help me," and my story video came up. I've heard some incredible stories of how God has directed people to the story or to one of my videos at just the right time. Even my own wife, the most amazing human being I've ever met in my whole life, Lisa, God used one of my story videos from halfway around the world, 8,720 miles. To make matters even more amazing, it's how to find God's help through painful trials and suffering. That message was made for another man in India. I made it for a man named Ipe Uman, who had reached out to me from India, going through a very difficult time. So I made that message and decided it applied to, you know, a lot of us, put it online. And then God, several months later, would bring my would-be wife, the one that he was going to connect me to, in India, to a message I made for a man in India from halfway around the world. I mean, it's incredible. I could tell you story after story. And so to me, the point of the story is it's about you. It's a, first of all, it's about our Father, but it just, I want you to know that from my perspective, Lisa, I get to see a side of God's providence that very few Christians ever get to see, because number one, I'm not a church. So I'm not a secretary answering a telephone. I'm not an online ministry where I'm the guy who gives the answers, but yet I don't hear all the phone calls and I don't know where people come from or under what conditions they came or how they got led to us. No, I'm the only person. I'm just Brother Michael. I'm not affiliated with any ministry, and I've gotten to talk to people all around the world and to see how God guides certain people at certain times to one of the videos and how he confirms things and how he's encouraging them. And Lisa, I can tell you that it's amazing to me to see the Father's heart over people like you who have failed, but yet who are still hungering for God's truth and for God's presence and for God's life to the full in your heart. Oh, sister, be encouraged, because the Father that I serve loves rejects. He loves failures. He loves failures. He loves rejects. He loves the downcast. He loves the weak. He loves the despised. He loves the overlooked. He loves the ignorant. And he doesn't allow people to stay ignorant, but he loves them. And God loves you, Lisa. I'm so encouraged. You know, listen, hold on to that which you know is true and is from God. You know two major things. You know that God led you to the story. Okay? You know that because you felt a change in your heart. That's the effect. And I can confirm with you that God is seeking you. Okay? He just happens to be using my little video as a vessel, but it's the Father who's seeking you through this ministry. He's outreaching to you through the words I've spoken. He's wanting to confirm. It's all about him. He wants you to be all about him. He desires you, and he's reaching to you, okay? I can't tell you how important it is that you reach back, and you have to reach back. Think of it as a great romance. If you pursue a man, but the man doesn't pursue you back, you have nothing. Vice versa. If a man pursues you, but you don't pursue him back, he has nothing. It's the same exact thing in a relationship with Father. Father chooses us. He's the ultimate, you know, pursuer. He pursues us first. He does a work of his grace to open our heart, to help us see that he exists, and to help us see our sinful condition and our desperate need for his salvation and for his love and his protection and his guidance and all of these things, okay, that are in the Father. So he does that work. He pursues us. But then we have to reach back to him and pursue him according to his love language. which is obedience. And the Bible says in Psalm 145:18 that the Lord is near to those who call on him. Okay, but here comes the also written, to those who call on him in truth. So I cannot tell you how important it is that I want to recommend to you that you take the John 7:17 challenge. You can't imagine how important the teachings of Jesus Christ, just the plain and simple teachings of Jesus Christ. Right now you might be saying, but Mike, I need to know what does God say about my situation right now? And he says a lot of things to you. But what he wants you to know is that true understanding, good understanding, the way that Father gives you and I eyes to see things the way he sees them, people the way he sees them, is by obeying his precepts. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's first base. Those who follow his precepts, his commandments, have good understanding. In Mark 4:23, Jesus Christ says, let him who has ears to hear, hear. And so I'm going to say the same thing to you. And I believe you have ears to hear. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Consider very carefully how you listen. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and more. To him who has, more will be given. To him who does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. Jesus is speaking of spiritual understanding. That principle applies to many things. But in that context, he's speaking of, be very careful how you hear my teachings and how you apply them. Because as you apply them, you're going to have more and more understanding given to you by my Father. It's almost like a trust system that in order for you to have really good wisdom, in order for you to really have good understanding, you have to have proven faithful with the small things, faithful in little, faithful in much. So as God gives you these small pieces of understanding and he sees you faithfully obeying them, then God begins to increase your understanding. And then what you find is, going down the road, you get to this place where every person or everything that comes into your life, every opportunity, every distraction, every evil, every blessing, you begin to see these things how the Father sees them. And then you're able to respond according to how the Father. In all situations, it's incredible. This is wisdom. This is why the Bible says, seek wisdom with all that you have. It's more valuable than all the riches and the rubies and the gold and the silver in the world. Get wisdom, though it cost you all you have. Get wisdom. So wisdom comes from going back to the basic teachings of Christ, having them, storing them up in your heart, and practicing them, applying them in your everyday life. So I want to encourage you, if you really want to have God's fullest understanding of his heart for you and everything you've been through, and you want to see the fullness of God's redemption, how he can turn even the second failure, as you call it, around. Sister, just dive into his word. Jesus promises this, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he or she is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. You need the Father to show himself to you. Now he's flirting with you. I promise you, I see the Father doing this with people all the time. And I'm telling you, the tragedy is in how few will seek him back. He tests people. Do you want me or do you want my stuff? Do you want me or do you want the world? Do you want life everlasting or do you want the good life now? Are you willing to wait for your inheritance or do you want to have it all in the here and now? He tests people and he pursues you. Sister, don't fret about the failure. Don't fret about how your plans didn't come to fruition. Totally abandon your will to his. This is an incredible teaching that I even just recently read about from Madame Gayo. Highly encourage you read her story. You can listen to it online. MadamGuyon. And I've actually done a recording of her story called Bedtime Faith Stories. Madame Gayo. And Madame Gayo taught a man named Finelin, a very godly man. God used both of them in profound ways, that there's a difference in surrendering your will and abandoning your will. Many Christians will surrender their will, Okay, they set it down, but they bring it to God and they say, here, God, I can't get my will done, but you get it done for me. And it's like we go to God and we say, okay, Lord, now I want you to fix this marriage. I did the same thing, Lisa. I didn't surrender my will. I took my will and said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna give this to you now. I want you to fix it. There was no abandonment of my will. Instead of saying, Lord, here's everything. If you want to take it from me, Lord, take it from me. It's yours to do with as you please. If you want to give it back to me, give it back to me. Not my will be done, but yours. Lord, I have desires, but Lord, I'm emptying myself of these desires. Lisa, I have to tell you, there is no other place to start a relationship with God than from full, absolute surrender and abandonment of your will. Jesus makes it so clear. Luke 14:33, Luke 14:25, Matthew 16:24 through 27. He speaks of us denying ourselves, taking up our cross, following him. A man giving up everything he has cannot be, if he doesn't give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. He says he comes to divide. No one can love their mother, their brother, their father, their sister, their wife, their children, their life more than him. We must love him more than everybody, more than anything. And sister, he knows best. You got to trust him. You got to get to a place where I heard one minister call it submissive neutrality. It's where you, and it's a great word to describe how you need to be with the Father. You think you know what's best for your life. So did I. You got to get to a place where you take your whole life, every person, and even like my children I did this with, you push it all on the table and you say, Lord, only give me back what you think is right. Here's what my desires are, but Lord, I'm laying my desires down. Don't give me what I want. Give me what you want. I probably could go on for an entire month, Lisa, of how much better Father knew what I wanted than what I wanted. He knew how much better I needed than what I knew I needed. And he'll do the same thing for you. I have made so many mistakes. Even after my divorce, I tried to start a relationship with a woman. I couldn't figure it out. I thought, oh, well, I just need to lower my standards here a little bit. God just kept showing me, no, Michael, you're compromising. You're getting ahead of me. You're compromising. Wait for my best. Luke 11:11, which of you fathers if his son asked for a fish would give him a snake? Patiently wait for me to act in your behalf. No one who trusts in me will ever be put to shame. I have granted you the desires of your heart. I've not withheld the request of your lips, but you need to wait, son. Don't ask me for my best. And believe me for a fixer-upper. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Sister Lisa, when I looked at the girl that I picked 4 years ago, for 6 months that I had this relationship with, the dating site thing you talked about, I got on ChristianMingle.com, huge mistake. It's using the tools of man, the ways of man, the ideas of man, the strength of man, the resources of man, it's totally depending upon man, not God, God, God. And I got my very best, and my very best was nothing. A snake. Oh, sister, I'm not able to have the energy to put into words how amazing God is. And look, I failed that second time. I saw, wow, here I've failed in my first attempt at a relationship after the divorce. And, oh man, I'm all washed up and I'm a complete failure and so forth and so on. And then I talk about how I tried to help a woman and she attacked me several years ago. I tried to innocently tried to help her just as my ministry was getting started and she attacked me and it caused me to stumble into sin. I could have gotten up and been a man and ran and I didn't. I cared more about what she thought than I did what God thought. My pride was bruised. I was being influenced by the fear of man in that moment. And I thought, great, I'm it. I'm ruined. I'm done. God can never use me again. Joseph ran. I didn't. I messed up. Oh, sister, look at what God has done. Maybe I'll never be second in command in all of Egypt like Joseph was. I never even desire that anyhow. But
Look at what God is doing now. So give him your very best mess ups. Give him your biggest sins. Give him your biggest failures. Give him your biggest unmet expectations. And I tell you, sister, be done with you and you'll come to the beginning of him. The only way to do this is to take up your cross and deny yourself. It's going to hurt. I want you to listen to a message I'm going to send you about absolute surrender. I don't want to get into this now, but don't give up waiting and trusting for God. Just know that the Father can take every single one of your biggest mistakes. Even if you fall 100 times, God can pick you back up, dust you off, strengthen your weak knees and your feeble arms, and send you on your way back out under his grace. You need his grace to live this Christian life and to break free from your own will, which is dominating his will for your life. And God will allow that. God will allow you to choose your will over his. So I want to send you also this message that I just did about how to find God's grace. It's coming out, I think, next Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and send it to you. And I'm going to make one final recommendation. Instead of me repeating all these things to you now, I would like for you to go to relentlessheart.com, then click on divorce/remarriage. There's about 11 different messages that are associated with that topic. I want to encourage you to listen to all the truth that God has spoken through me and through his word on that subject. And I bet God will encourage you and help you get some better understanding on some things that will help you. But do not give up, sister. Look on what God has already done. Psalm 105:5, remembering what God has already done, the miracles he's done, the judgments he's pronounced, his wonderful deeds. Remember them. Call them to mind that God led you, not so that he can tell you what a failure you are, or so that he can tell you how washed up you are, or so he can tell you what you could have been but aren't, or he can tell you the plans he had for you that you squandered. No. He's telling you, come on, get back up, sister. Get back up. Get back in the game. Get your focus on. Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Press on towards the call, which you've been called to in Christ Jesus. The prize, fullness of Christ in the here and now and eternal life, thanks be to Christ, after you leave this earth. Look forward. Put your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes. That means fixate. Put them there and don't move them. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such sinful opposition from men, so that you will not grow weary and tired and quit or give up. He says, you have not resisted sin yet to the point of shedding your blood. So we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and humbly ask for God's help and wait. Learn. God wants you to learn. Sister, everything I'm sensing in my heart for you is for you to fully learn. Listen, it's one thing to have a lot of enthusiasm for God, okay? I know a lot of people who would say they're very passionate about God. They're very hungry for God. They're very excited about church and the things of God. And they want to talk about him all the time and they want to learn his word, but they're absolute ignorant of his true ways. They have huge foundational faith in God. Oh, they believe he created everything. He's in control of everything, but their life reflects absolutely no functional faith in God. They don't know how to trust God for even the smallest or littlest things. They're not willing to take any risks when God asks them to do something. They're being disobedient here, disobedient there. But oh, they have such passion for God. Sister, it's all worthless. Don't be one of those. Don't be one of those. Be one of those who gains good understanding. I cannot tell you how important this is. The biggest thing I see when people contact me all the time is I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, they don't even understand this basic way of God. And this person's been in the church for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years. And I'll be speaking to them and they'll ask me these questions. What about this? What about this? What about that? And I say, wow, these are such basic understandings of God's ways. No wonder the body of Christ is so anemic, so weak, so kicked to the curb. The church today desperately needs discernment and good understanding. You are part of the body of Christ. You need good understanding and good discernment. God will allow you to get to a place where you can have so much wisdom that you'll understand all of these things that are happening in your life. God will even give you insight on things that have already happened. He'll begin to show you deeper things in His Word. Jeremiah 33:3, He says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things which you do not know." So let Him teach you. Let Him give you insight and fill you with spiritual wisdom and understanding and give you revelation about His love and about who He is and about who you are to Him. Become that beloved daughter and understand that the Father's disciplining you, sister. He's disciplining those He truly loves. He's not punishing you because He doesn't love you. He is punishing you because He loves you and wants to turn you from disaster. God is so graceful that with some of His kids, and merciful rather, that He'll push their train off the tracks before they run it off the cliff. This is what the Lord helped me to see. I hated the pain. I hated the suffering. I hated the loss of my hopes for my life and my shattered dreams. But God showed me, "Michael, you were making progress, son, but you were headed in the wrong direction. This is not my best for your life. You acquired all these things, including your wife. You acquired the job, the talents, the skills, the business, the people, the relationships, the money. Michael, you acquired all of that outside of my will. I want to strip you of all of that, give you another chance, a do-over. Give it all up, and I'll give that which is very best for you and honors me into your life." So God, in His mercy, He sees you and I build these lives apart from Him, Lisa. We go and accumulate, and we think, because we put a God bumper sticker mentally on everything in our life, this is from God. We make all these choices, and then we actually, if we're really honest, we add God to everything we do in our life like a cherry on top. And somehow or another, we live our lives pretty much independent of God, making our own decisions, just hoping that mysteriously He somehow or another is calling the shots. Like, you know, if I'm not supposed to go into this, God will shut the door. No, He won't. God many times will let you just get exactly what you want. When you're standing on the top of your balcony and you're looking at that hot woman, Bathsheba, down there taking a bath, and you sit there and you lust after her, God many times will let you go ahead, go down, call up for her, have sex with her, even though she's married, and then get yourself in such a pickle that you get her pregnant and you're going to desire to kill the husband, and God won't stop you. A man reaps what he sows, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If we sow to the sinful nature, we reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal life. So what does God do? In His mercy, if you start crying out to Him like you have, God will intervene in your circumstances. He will be merciful to you, and He does recognize ignorance. He does know we're under heavy false teaching. He does know we're in those terrible times where men are lovers of everything except for God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. He understands that many have abandoned the faith and follow deceiving doctrines taught by demonic spirits. He understands that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most is growing cold. So when He finds somebody like you, He will, 2 Chronicles 16:9, He'll look all over the whole earth to find someone whose heart is wholly devoted, or somebody whose heart desires to be wholly devoted. And He'll begin to work on your behalf, and He'll show Himself strong on your behalf. But sister, before that, God, if He's merciful, He will, for those that are the elect, those that He's chosen through His foreknowledge. He knows before you were born whether or not you were going to choose Him or not. Here's the point. If you're one of those and you're still desiring and hungering God, He'll pour bitterness into the things that you called happiness. He'll pour bitterness and pain and suffering, and He'll shatter those dreams of all those things in your life that you built outside of His will, thinking that you could find happiness in them apart from Him. It's His desire that you and I be stripped of everything in this world that we think we can find happiness in outside of Him alone. I'll tell you the truth, sister. Happiest I've ever been? Homeless, 4 months. Walking into that little office, 100-year-old building, sleeping on the floor. Thankful to God for a toilet and a sink, no shower. So thankful to have a place out of the rain. and I'm dropping to my knees. I'm thanking God, Lord God. I mean, tears are streaming down my face. The Lord Jesus, His presence was with me. It was such sweet fellowship. Oh, the Lord was with me. I had nothing. I had been stripped of everything. Dignity, family members, friends, church, everything and everybody had been stripped long after the kids and the ex-wife were gone. This is just a further continual stripping. Dignity gone. And there it was, just me and Father. Nothing else to cling to. Nothing else to find my happiness in outside of Him. And I tell you, when you get to that place, and yes, it says right there in John 12:24, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Every Christian that's a true Christian must die. Every Christian that's a true Christian must fully surrender and pick up their cross. There is no other way to the abundant spiritual life than through the cross. Philippians 1:29 says that it has been granted to you, Lisa, on behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for Him. And so God will shatter these illusions and delusions so that we'll find only our happiness in Him. Just let Him do it. Just take your hands off the steering wheel and just begin to cry out every day, Father, I want to give it all to You. I want to give the dream, the hopes, the marriage, everything, God, careers, money, finances, where I live, friends, expectations, where I go to church. Lord, I want to go all in. Sister, that is the beginning of true life that so many Christians will never know. It's a life that can only come by death. It's a resurrection experience that can only come after the crucifixion experience. Living your life, Romans 12:2, as a living sacrifice is about denying everything in you that wants to live independent of God. Every decision you want to make that is less than God's best or God's choice for you must die. And it's painful in the beginning. It's painful. That's why the Bible says this discipline that comes from the Lord, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Rather, later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God will give you peace. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Proverbs 19:23. I am telling you, sister, this is where my wife and I have reached. Oh, the devil hates our guts. Oh, he brings torment. He brings all kinds of weapons against us. But I tell you, sister, we remain untouched. In fact, every time he tries to touch us, we become more like Jesus with God's help. We put in all of our spiritual disciplines. We walk in the understanding and the wisdom that God has given us. We stay low and humble, and we receive tons of grace from the Father. We're too weak. God could easily let us be destroyed by the devil. But instead, he allows that man to afflict us. That man, I shouldn't call him a man, but you know what I mean. He allows the devil and his minions to touch us and afflict us in just the right way. And it continues to polish us up, refine us, keep us low, keep us dependent. Sister, may God bless you to find you faithful, obedient, wholehearted, fully surrendered and devoted. May He continue to make His face shine upon you and bless you and anoint you and encourage you and strengthen you and lift you up. May He help you to put your eyes back on Jesus, back on the fact that everything we acquire in this life is dying and is going to be burned in the fire. Only the things that make it into the next life count for anything. Sister, be encouraged. Again, the John 7:17 challenge, can't recommend it enough. It's free. You do not have to buy the book. You can go to right there, John 7:17, the challenge, and you can do the online version for free. And I think you're in New Zealand. Believe it or not, I have mailed a few books to New Zealand. That's pretty neat. I think you said you're in New Zealand, at least a thought. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Take the challenge and then also go to the blog, divorce, remarriage topic, watch all those, and let us know if you have more questions. And I'm going to finish praying for you right now. May God bless you, sister. Bye-bye.